Good to see you on this day. Good to have you. Welcome. Thanks for coming. Bring the spirit of worship. We know the Lord's going to be present with us, excited about what he's going to do today. And it is certainly good to be here and worship him. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin. Coming up this evening at 5, the annual business meeting. And our youth will be going to Craigmont this week. And so remember them, pray for them for safe travel and a good experience. And as they go off to Craigmont, Thursday, July the 13th, 10 o'clock Bible study. And coming up July 17th, the ladies' auxiliary on that Monday evening will meet at 7. The deacons will meet the 18th at 7 on Tuesday.
Mr. Joe.
Yes. All right.
Judge, just remind everybody, at 5 o'clock, we'll be looking at our bylaws as well as our mission vision statement this evening.
Okay. Sandy Smith's stepmother, Miss Betsy Harris, passed, and will funeral will be today at 1:30 in Greenville at Wilkerson Funeral Home. Certainly, let's remember them. I have a card from Miss Marcy. It says, Deep Run Church family, it's with grateful heart that I say thank you for all the phone calls, cards, notes, and especially the prayers. They meant so much. Please continue to keep your prayers ongoing in Christian love, Marcy Howe. And Marcy, it's good to have you back. Good to see you. And Dan's back with us today. And we enjoyed that card you sent last week we read. So it's good to see you guys back with us. Does anyone else have any announcements? All right, let's prepare for worship on this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Stand together and let's read the responsive reading. We are here, Lord, your people, your church gathering together in your presence.
We are open to each other, and we are open to you.
Today, make yourself known to us through our worship, our prayer, and our understanding of your word.
This is your day, and we shall praise you.
This is your day, and we shall declare your name.
This is your day, and we shall worship our risen Savior.
Father God, I thank you for allowing us to be here. Another great opportunity to fellowship together with you, the presence of your Holy Spirit and your precious people that you loved enough that you died for us all. We thank you for that, Lord. On this day set aside as a day of worship to you, we pray you would open our hearts and minds to the moving, the power, the anointing of your Spirit, that our love for you would become stronger and greater, and certainly for one another, that we can love and serve one another in the name of Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
If you'll turn in your hymnals to 104, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5 of O Worship the King.
Oh,
have you seated? Dennis Hill has our scripture readings this morning.
The Old Testament reading is Psalm 148, 8 through 14. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The New Testament reading comes from Matthew 11, verses 16 through 19. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. In Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Okay. Continue to worship as we pray, or are there any names we need to call? Okay. Okay, Wesley J. All right. Any others? Marlene Benson Andrews, okay.
Bill Carr.
Bill Carr.
I'll do Children's Church if anyone.
Okay. We'll pray for you. Anyone else? Let's remember these, and there's concerns on the back of the bulletin where Dennis is on there to pray for. So remember those. Our nation, leaders, and pray for one another. Let's pray.
So good to us, and most of the time we don't even recognize it. But thank you, thank you, thank you. Be with us as our pastor brings us your morning message. It's in thy name I pray. Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 143, stand and sing all three verses of This Is My Father's World.
Music on.
God of all goodness and grace, receive the gifts we offer and grant that our whole life may give you glory and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Be seated. So today our scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 8. the text we want to focus on is verse 35, but read it in the context, it'll be verses 28 through 40. I want to read that to you this morning. It's about Philip and the Ethiopian. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. Guy must have been pretty important. He's been charging the money, hadn't he? This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So we got this Ethiopian. He'd gone to Jerusalem, and he was coming back, I guess, back home, and he was riding on this road in his chariot, And the Spirit tells Philip, you need to go to that chariot and stay near to it. So in verse 30, it says, Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So he was reading this scripture. He could not understand it, and he invited Philip to come in to sit with him. And I guess that's better than running down the road chasing him, isn't it? He gets to sit up there in the chariot with him and with this Ethiopian eunuch, and they're riding down the chariot, down this path, down this road, and talking about this passage of Scripture. So what was that Scripture? The passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading was, it come out of Isaiah, and it says, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shear is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. And who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? And it says, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. And as they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Our thought today is a story to tell. You know, most of us are good storytellers. We can get in conversation and we can tell stories about a variety of subjects. And today I want to think about that, a story to tell. Because, man, do we have a story to tell. When you make your life, your message, and your mission all about Jesus Christ, when you know him personally, when he is the very center of who you are and what you do, and when you discover that he is the one who really makes life worth living, then it's only natural that you want to share this joyful truth with someone else. Now, there are many opinions and techniques when it comes to sharing the gospel with others. There's a term, you may have heard it, called evangelism. And a lot of times when we think about this, you know, many think that's just the job that the preacher needs to do. That's what we got him for. Or, you know, we've got these missionaries we send out to evangelize the world. Many may think of it as making this high-pitched sales presentation to the point that you get someone to answer yes, and then you have that person sign on the dotted line, and it's all done. I don't know, whatever your opinion is, we want to talk about this today because every person needs to know about Jesus. And we have the opportunity to do so in America. That's one of the great things about our country is we're not persecuted when we tell other people about him. Every person needs to know about him. Every person needs to have the opportunity to receive him into their life. And this is such an important decision that every person deserves the right to be able to make that decision without being manipulated or without high pressure techniques or pitches. I will simply say this. If you know Jesus, you should share him with other people. So today I want to talk about that. We'll talk about sharing faith, our faith, with people that God has placed around us. Now, we've been looking at stories in the book of Acts since the day of Pentecost. And today we want to focus on this story about with the Apostle Philip when he encounters an Ethiopian and shares the gospel with him. The Ethiopian was a eunuch who served as the high treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. And this eunuch had gone to Jerusalem and was now on his way back home. This man was not Jewish. And I'm sure the Jews wouldn't have considered him to even be a God-fearing man, but he had this interest in the scripture. And I don't know where he had got them from, but he had some scripture from the book of Isaiah. And Philip saw that this man was reading from the book of Isaiah. And so he struck up this conversation with him, and answering his questions and talking to him about what he was reading. And as the book of Acts says, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. Philip then led the man to know about Jesus. He stopped right there on the road and was baptized, and the Bible says that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, and Philip went on continuing to preach the gospel in other towns and cities. There are five things here we need to keep in mind when we share the gospel with those around us. It's two more than the usual three, but it's not going to be any longer. It's pretty simple. And if we keep these things in mind, I think the idea of sharing our faith to someone, it won't instill fear in us and those around us that we talk to. So five things. First is, when we share our faith, the first thing, the most important thing, is that we listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Verse 29 says, the Spirit told Philip to go to that chariot and stay near it. This is where sharing faith begins. The Holy Spirit of God leads us into it. He'll gently speak with that still, small voice. He'll move within our spirit, and he'll draw something to our attention. There may have been hundreds of people on that road that day, but it was that chariot carrying that Ethiopian that the Spirit called to Philip's attention. And this is how sharing faith works. It's not that you grab every person coming by and shout the gospel in their face. It's that you let the Holy Spirit guide you to the ones who are ready to listen. Believe me, if you make yourself available to him, he'll guide you. I love the way Luke records Philip's response in verse 30. It says, Philip ran up to the chariot. And that's how we should respond to the Holy Spirit's leadership. We run in the direction that he sends us. Now, have you ever heard of anyone that ran in the opposite direction? Who is that biblical character? Me. I mean, Jonah. You know, many times when God directs us in a direction, we want to go the opposite direction. But notice what Philip did. He gives us a much needed example to follow. You run in the direction that God said. You make haste, not excuses. Too often we want to make excuses, don't we? Rather than move in the direction that God wants to send us. If you listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the opportunity to share your faith with others. Friends, strangers, family members, co-workers, kings. You begin by saying, Lord, open my eyes and my ears today so I can hear your voice and recognize what you're doing. I want to be a part of it. Put something in my path and direct me in that direction. To effectively share the good news, we must listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's number one. Number two, look for an open door. You ever tried to walk through a door that was closed? A couple people, yeah. Philip heard the man reading from the Old Testament, and Philip asked him if he understood what he was reading. And the man said he didn't, because he didn't have the body to explain it to him. Ing, that ought to turn a light bulb on, hadn't it, huh? I don't have anybody to explain it to me, Philip. I'm reading this. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Huh, that's another open door, isn't it? First open door was, I'm reading the scripture. Nobody can explain it to me. That's number one. Number two is, why don't you come up here and sit with me? You know what you call that? Open door. There will be times when you start a conversation with someone and engage you further. This man engaged Philip further and further. When that happens, you need to walk through the open door. There'll be other times when you start a conversation with somebody, they immediately slam the door in your face. And when that happens, what do? You respect the closed door. The Holy Spirit is still in the process of getting them ready. In John 16:8, in Jesus teaching about the Holy Spirit, we read that Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. You're not going to convince or convict anyone, because it's not your job. It's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And that's why we have to listen to him. He prepares that heart. He prepares that mind. And the Holy Spirit will prepare the heart of a person to receive the gospel. So listening to the Spirit and looking for the open door go hand in hand. Isn't it tempting to try and be the Holy Spirit? I know y'all have never done it. Probably them folks down there did, but it's tempting, isn't it? We want to tell someone how wrong they are, how sinful they are. We want to try to convince them of what they need and what they don't need. It's tempting to try to be the Holy Spirit and, squeeze in a little sermonette here and squeeze in a scripture or two. But I tell you, it only shuts the door even more. When you share your faith, look for the open door, not the closed one. Jesus talked about the gospel, and when we present the gospel, he talked about different types of soil, and he talked about fertile soil. Fertile soil is the only soil that you put a seed in. You don't put seed out on the rock and expect to get fruit from it. You put seed in fertile soil. So in listening to the Holy Spirit and looking for the open door, we try to make sure that the soil is fertile before we plant the seed. The third thing is that I think we see here is that we begin where they are. This Ethiopian was reading from the book of Isaiah, and he had questions about what he was reading. So what did Philip do? Did he start talking to him about politics, cultural values, the inerrancy of the scriptures? Was he talking to him about what was wrong with that Jewish worship down in Jerusalem where he had just come from? No, none of these. Verse 35 says, Philip began with that very scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. It just so happens that the Ethiopian's point of interest was a scripture, a prophetic passage about Jesus the Messiah. That's not surprising, because biblical passages about Jesus tend to be much more interesting than anything else. I did a study one time on personal evangelism. There was a section on how to deflect diversionary tactics. It means that if the person that I was witnessing to asked a question, the response should be something like, let's put that on the back burner, we'll get to it later. Diversionary tactic. You ever had anybody do that to you? You may be trying to talk about a specific thing. You might be trying to hold somebody accountable, and they want to change up on you, right? And that's something, too, a teacher might use that at the classroom so she can finish her lesson plan for the day. Kid asks something totally off the wall. We'll get to that later, right? Something a salesman might do if they... they're really trying to get you to sign on that dotted line, and they don't want to answer your question. But it's not something that one person says to another when they're engaged in a conversation. I want you to get this. And that's what sharing our faith is. It is a conversation with another person. It's not a lecture. It's not a sermon. It's not a sales pitch. So when the Holy Spirit leads and opens the door, talk to the person where they are about their questions and curiosities. Make it a conversation, which means there's some listening going on, right? We listen and we engage in a conversation. Sometimes I talk to people who only want to argue with me, or tell me how terrible to think Christianity is, or how to touch, or how irrelevant the church is, or Most often their impression of Christianity is way off the mark and their attitude is hostile. When this happens, we can only say, you know what, the door is not quite open yet. And this person's not quite ready. You know, it's tempting to get in an argument, isn't it? It's tempting to try to debate someone that's not ready. But arguments and debates are never won. So the goal in sharing our faith is to give and take conversation that begins with an individual and where they are. Which leads us to the next thing we need to see. The fourth thing is, tell them about Jesus. There's a lot of things people that want to talk about and be engaged in when it comes to religion. But what they really need is to know Jesus. In verse 35 it says, Philip began with that very scripture and told him about the good news about Jesus. And that's where our conversation needs to go. It's all about Jesus. It's not about church. It's not about politics. It's not about programs. It's not following a bunch of rules and traditions and regulations. It's about Jesus Christ. How he lived, how he died, how he rose again. And all who put their trust in him experience a new life in him because he is Lord over all creation. You know what all means, don't you?
All.
And he wants to be the Lord of your life. Maybe you don't know the scriptures well enough to talk about the prophetic implications of Isaiah 53. But you can tell others what Jesus has done for you. And you can tell others what Jesus can do for them based on what he's done for you. And if you're talking to others about the Christian faith, and your conversation is primarily about what we as a church think about culture and politics, we're really missing the point. Our goal is not to get people to accept our political views. Our goal is not to get people to join this particular party or have these particular family values. Our goal is to show a lost and dying world how they can experience life in a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else offers that in our world today. You share your faith, share Jesus. And then the last thing is, number five is, leave the decision to them. It's their decision what they'll do about their relationship to God. You can't make that decision for them. And you certainly can't pressure them to make the decision you think they ought to make. It's a decision each individual has to make for themselves. And this is difficult, isn't it? I know, I mean, there are people in my life who could be less interested in things of a spiritual nature. They just don't care. And for some of them, life without God has brought them nothing but misery. But they're convinced that God has nothing to offer them. And if I could somehow believe for them, I would make that choice for them. I would. But I can't. When Philip was talking to the Ethiopian, he didn't start trying to manipulate the conversation and close the deal so the man could sign on the dotted line. He simply told him about Jesus. And suddenly the man responded. It says, as they traveled down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave the order to stop the chariot. The Ethiopian owned his decision to the point that he took it on himself to get baptized. He wanted everyone to know that day out there publicly that he identified as one belonging to Jesus. Was it because Philip smooth talked him? Was it because Philip pressured him to the point that the man said, boy, if I'm going to say yes just to get rid of him? Absolutely not. It was because Philip answered the Ethiopian's questions in conversation, and he would receive the information about Jesus. He was ready on his own to commit. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that evangelism is selling Christianity, and we're called to be a sales force. It's not that at all. A better way to describe it is, we're not God's sales force. We're his reporter. It's not our job to close the deal. It's our job to just simply tell the story, to report what God has done through Jesus Christ and what he has done and doing in our lives. Tell his story. Tell your story. And this is how we make our mark on the world around us. When the Spirit leads and the doors open, start talking. Tell the story. And man, what a story we had to tell. Father, we thank you today for your word and the simplicity of it. You give us a great story to tell. You've made a great mark upon our lives. And you've called us to tell that story to make our mark on the lives of those around us. And you've given us all the help we need, the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Move in our hearts, our minds, and our mouths. Help us to tell that story in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
So I'll turn to 389, stand and sing verses 1 and 3 of Spirit of the Living God.
Welcome. Thank you for your presence today, the spirit of worship, the joy of being with one another. Anybody have anything before we leave? All right, continue to pray for one another and to ease the back's interest in our prayers and have a good week. Don't get too hot out there. All right, let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this day, your blessings, the abundance of life that you have given to us all. Pray for my brothers and sisters in the faith here and around the world as we go out this week. The doors will open and we will walk through them with confidence, with hope, and with a great message to tell those around us. Bless our efforts, all we do, for the glory of the kingdom, and may Christ be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen.